Musicians, thank you, Pastor Mike. Appreciate you doing it on this holiday weekend. Great seeing you all today. I'm glad that you're here on this holiday, and I'm sure that we're a little fuller than we typically would be, in part because of gas. Gas keep anybody down here rather than up north? Anybody? Pardon me, personally. Anybody else? Listen, I'm just glad you're here. I'm Kevin McCarthy, and welcome to Discover Church. Our aim is to help people discover. We want to be a center of spiritual discovery, development, and demonstration in our county. It's very simple. That's our agenda. We want you to discover who Jesus Christ is. We want you to discover God the Father's love. We want you to discover the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for coming here on this Labor Day. It's a wonderful holiday. It has deep roots that really mean a lot to this area, doesn't it? How many of you have ever belonged to a union, a labor union before? Anybody? Lots of us. How many of you have or have had or have now a job, a trade, where you work with your hands? Huh? Absolutely. Lots of us. So, you know, it's a great holiday, and it celebrates a great thing, doesn't it? It celebrates work, good old-fashioned hard work. Yet for many of us, both as Americans and as Christians, work's become kind of a bad thing, hasn't it? Almost a four-letter word, right? Something we don't want to hear about, something we really would like to avoid having to do if we can. Right? Come on. I mean, what's your goal for your occupation? Your goal, every one of our goals is to retire from work. Yeah. Let's be honest about it. Yet hard work is a key to success. I'm sure that you agree with me that you'll never succeed in school and career and marriage and family, in faith, if you don't work hard. And here's the first point. You can pull out that outline on your program and fill this in. There's a pen. Should be a pen in the pew in front of you, the rack in front of you. But the first thing is that work is a good thing. Work is a good thing. It ain't no four-letter word. In fact, before humanity sinned, when God placed Adam in the garden, the first thing He gave him was a job. You realize that? Work existed before we fell apart. You need to understand that. He had a job that required real effort. He was a manager. He had to manage the entire creative order. It's still the job that we still have with us, right? We're to master this planet and use its resources wisely and not to squander it. And I really want to help you to understand how important work is in four key areas of your life. And I want to inspire you today to roll up your sleeves and make a greater effort at one or more areas that you may have been slacking off on and coasting in. And we want to do this first by revisiting the verse that has driven this series on articulating our vision to you, called Connecting Our County to Christ. And it's taken from John chapter 15, verse 16. Would you recite it together with me? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We're going to study this verse in its context, which is found in John chapter 15. If you do me a favor and open up your Bibles and you grab the Bible in front of you, if you got a blue Bible in front of you, that's found on page 764, John chapter 15. And it's right smack dab in the middle of an intimate discussion that Jesus had. It's His final discussion He has with His followers before He dies for them, before He goes to the cross for them. And it's in the context of their 4th of July celebration, which was their Passover Seder or meal. And so it's really important. It's a great holiday, just like tomorrow is going to be, much more like the 4th of July. And He's talking with His followers, and I'd like you to follow along with me as I read some of this with you. Okay? Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Then he goes on to say, if anyone does not remain in me, and I in him, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and are thrown into the fire and are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. How many of you like those easy button commercials? I like those easy button commercials. They are humorous, aren't they?
That was easy.
That's right. You know, don't you wish that there was an easy button to press in life? I love that commercial where the lady drives up, gets the car filled up, goes to give the guy the easy button, you know. Sorry. There's no easy button, is there? No easy button to life. And, you know, success in life and in spiritual life, fruitfulness, as Jesus would talk about, man, that takes work. For most of us, this is the four-letter word we want our life to be about, don't we? Easy. But Jesus says that if you really want to be fruitful, it takes that other four-letter word, work, doesn't it? Give me a show of hands. How many of you have found out that spiritual growth takes work? Hello? You found out just like I have, there is no easy button to grow morally and spiritually. It takes effort. It takes work. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He's using this analogy that they would really understand in that agrarian farming society. I grew up farming area, worked for farmers. We understand growing things takes a lot of work. You know, weeds just grow on their own, don't they? And if you let them, they will overtake your crops. But you have to work to prune those weeds back. And you have to nurture your crops. If you want to have a fruitful crop, we're making some salsa later today, my nephew Joe and I. And I grow jalapenos. I love peppers. I love hot food. But Joe brought some jalapenos with him. They're like the size of cucumbers. And he got them from his relative who's a farmer. And I got crappy soil because it's Shelby sand. But man, I just look at those and I look at my little tiny jalapenos on my plants. Darn. He's got a lot more work and strategic investment in his jalapenos than I've got in mine. And it's the point. Point number one is this. You got to work hard at staying centered in Jesus. Work hard at staying centered in Jesus. I just want you to know that. There is no easy button for you to grow spiritually. Jesus talks about that in his parable of the sower, doesn't he? Since many of us are like people, if we choose the easy path, will the weeds of distraction grow up in our lives, the things we chase after in our culture, and they'll distract us and they'll stunt what God wants to do in our lives. He says, if you really want to be fruitful, if you really want to be productive, man, you've got to be intentional. You need to be intentional about remaining vitally connected to God, about prioritizing a relationship with God, depending upon God, and pursuing God's purposes for your life. I don't know about you, but for me, self-center is my default mode. And it's really easy for me to get off-center and back on self-center. Not in the areas where I need God's help, but in the areas that I'm confident in, that I'm gifted in. And I'm going to bet that almost every one of you are just like that. In the areas that we got under control, and we don't need God, we don't invite God into those areas oftentimes. You see, Self-centered is default mode. Focusing on me, depending upon me, pursuing my agenda. It comes naturally, doesn't it? Jesus knew this, which is why he challenged his followers in his parting discussion with them to be intentional about staying centered in him and in God. That's why he challenged them as followers to deny themselves and to follow him. We don't want to hear those words, deny yourself, do we? Ouch. That's another four-letter word. We'd much rather hear indulge yourselves. Anybody else? Hello. We're being honest here. And our culture does a really good job of tempting us, doesn't it? Indulge yourselves with this product, you name it. And we get distracted a lot. And taking up our cross, that symbolizes pursuing the plans and purposes of God for our lives. That's the path to be productive. And Jesus says, if you want to bear fruit, if you want to become all that God has called you to be, then you've got to make an effort to stay vitally connected to God. You've got to prune those things, to hoe up those things in your life that distract you from God and His passions and purposes for your life. The upside is this, that if you prioritize your relationship with Jesus, if you be intentional about depending upon Him and pursuing His purposes for your life, then you get to enjoy His incredible love and everything that comes with His love. Forgiveness, guidance, wisdom, strength, power, and provision for life. And that's what I think Jesus is driving at when a little later in John chapter 15 and verse 14, He says, I no longer call you as servants. Because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You know, friendship takes work, doesn't it? And your friendship with God through Jesus is no different. But He promises, if you'll stay connected to Him, to work on you, to work in you, and to work through you. He only asks that you stay centered in Him. So the question that I want to ask you on this Labor Day is this. How hard am I working to connect to Jesus? How hard are you working to connect to Jesus? Because fact is, there is no easy button. But there is a power source. And that's God. And if you stay vitally connected to Him, then you can participate. You can be a recipient of God's incredible power for living that He offers us as we stay centered in Him. Second one I want to challenge you to do this Labor Day is to work hard to become like Jesus. Let's revisit the partner verse of our theme verse. And it's found in Colossians chapter 1. And I want to thank you, Walt, for sharing Colossians chapter 3. It's Colossians chapter 1 and verses 4 through 11. And it really explains what it means to bear fruit when Jesus says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and I've appointed you to go and to bear fruit that will last. And it reads like this, all over the world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's remaining in the vine, folks. That's staying centered in Jesus. And here's why. He says, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Live a life like Jesus did. And may please Him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. Circle those words, every good work. growing in the knowledge of God. See how that comes together? You see, spiritual maturity in the Bible is not measured by how much you know, but by how much you do, how much you serve, how much you love. That's how. That's God's barometer. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Folks, the reality is that we need to become like Jesus so we can point people to Jesus. I was not here last weekend because I was helping to chaperone. I had the privilege of chaperoning the Eisenhower cross country teams. I've been a runner for over 30 years. And it was an opportunity for my passions and my abilities to be connected with my community's interests and needs. So I rode up there and the board said I could. We took the church van. So all the kids know who I am and what I'm about. We had a great time. I ran 7 times in 5 days. That's the most time this 50-year-old's run in a long time. But the first day we got there was an 8-miler, and my job was to drop the kids off and to go to the end of that run. I had to drop some other kids that were injured off at the halfway point. And I was to go, and I was to start from the end, and I was to run them in. Okay, that means I start at the end and I would run in and pick kids up, particularly kids that were injured or struggling, and made sure that they got to the finish line. Now the kids, the young bucks, the guys, man, they flew. You know, they didn't need my help. They knew they were going. Although two guys got turned around, two of the best runners got turned around and ended up coming out another exit. And you know what? That's what discipleship's all about. You gotta point people to the finish line, don't you, in life? And if you want to point people toward Jesus, you better become like Him. You better have something in your life that points people to Jesus Christ. Because that's what it means to be a witness. And you know what? It takes work. It takes effort to become like Jesus, doesn't it? Let's listen to what St. Paul says. He says, don't waste time arguing about godless ideas and old wives' tales. You know, we love to do that, don't we, as Christians? And all these inane, you know, arguments. But he says, instead, train yourself to be godly. Just like these young kids were training to excel athletically. Paul says, men, train yourselves to excel morally and spiritually. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come, because your character is the only thing you're taking with you to heaven. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. He says, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all, but and particularly all believers. Listen, folks, when it comes to becoming like Christ, there is no easy button. But there's a path, and that's following Jesus, His teachings and His example, and following His coaches that God puts in your life, becoming like Him in your character and conduct. And in order to do that, I'm sorry, but I believe that you need a training team. That's what church is supposed to be, God's training team, where He puts coaches into your life. That's where small groups come into play. You need a training team. So I want you to challenge you to work hard to stay vitally connected to Jesus, to work hard to become like Jesus in your character and conduct. The third thing I want to challenge you to work at on this Labor Day is to work hard to unite as followers of Jesus. Work hard to stick together. All right? And Jesus says in John 15 and verse 8, He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He says, now remain in my love. To whom are we to show that we're Christ followers? It's to our world. It's to our Christless culture. How do we do that? Well, Jesus says here that one of the key ways is by loving God's people and loving God's mission for His people. That's God's purpose of fellowship. Right over there. Connecting together. God has called us to be church. And you saw in our baptism video, I had a shirt on that said, "Don't go to church." Well, the back side of that says, "Be church." And that's what God wants us to be. Like, you can't go to a couple. You can be a couple, but you can't be a couple by yourself, can you? Same thing with church. Same thing with church. God has called us to be church. And that's why He says in verse 12, He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And then He goes on in verse 13, He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." You see, our love for each other and our unity with each other, man, that is Jesus' signature on our community, the church. And Jesus' commandment here is why our mission as a church is to show God's love and to share God's truth in relevant and appealing and understandable ways. Because God's truth and God's love are transforming when they're clearly understood and embraced, aren't they? And that's why Jesus, after He gives these work orders in John chapter 15, if you'll move ahead just two chapters to John chapter 17, I want to challenge you to go home and read that, because He gives this incredible prayer for all of His followers. And in verse 20, He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in Me through their message." That's you and I. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they be in Us, so that the world may believe that You've sent Me." Wow. He says, "I in them," verse 23, "and You in Me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me." Now, I've got a question for you. How many of you would agree that it's hard work to stay together, to stay on the same page as a couple, as a family, as a church, and as any organization? How many of you say, "Yeah, it's hard work"? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? I wish that there was an easy button.
That was easy.
To maintain unity and togetherness. But there isn't. And that's why, if you look at every letter that St. Paul wrote to the church, if you look at every gospel and you look in to listen to Jesus' teachings, you'll see that we're challenged in every one of them to stick together and stick to the mission that Jesus has given us. Because why? Self-centeredness is default mode. And if we're going to succeed in connecting our county to Christ, if we're going to succeed in staying together as couples and families and staying on track with God, then we're going to have to make the effort, and we're going to have to sacrifice, to lay down our lives for each other. How do we do that? We lay down our lives when we lay down our own independent, self-serving personal agendas. And we got them, don't we? You've got them in your relationships. You've got them at your workplace. You've got them in your family. We've got them in our church. But we have no other option, according to Jesus, but to work through our conflicts, to do that hard work, to resolve things with one another, and to put down our personal agendas for other people's lives. Because pursuing your personal agenda, that's the easy path, isn't it? That's the default mode. But compromising and seeking the collective best, that's the challenge, folks. God's Word says in Ephesians chapter 4, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Make every effort, and there's that word effort, work, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says there's one body and one Spirit. We saw all the baptisms from two Sundays ago. People are saying, man, I'm in the team, man, and that's symbolic of me. I'm dying to. I'm ending my relationship with my own individual agenda in life. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. And you heard that word that Walt was inspired to share from Colossians. Same word, isn't it? You know, that kind of self-control, forgiveness, and patience, it takes the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus in you and I to live out. We don't have it. We simply can't do this without God's supernatural power and love flowing through us. That's why we've got to make a focused effort to stay vitally connected to Jesus in order to love each other like Jesus. There is no easy button. But as I said before, there's a power source. There's a pathway. And there are partners. Look around. These are your partners. These are your training team. I want you to put your hand on the pew real quickly. This is an exercise we did a couple weeks ago. Put your hand on the wall. I want you to recite after me, this is not my church. Now I want you to put your hand on somebody's shoulder. And I want you to say together with me, this is my church. That's right. This is my church. It's the people of God. Church is a people, not a steeple. You got to figure it out. It's not a place you go to. It's a community you belong to. And you can't be church by yourself. And you got to work to stick together with God's people. Now, the purpose of these efforts to love one another is so that the world may come to know Jesus as forgiver and leader in life. And that's what his prayer was. He said, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's the fourth thing that we are tasked to work hard at. And that's to work hard at sharing Jesus' message. You know that mural right there? Who can tell me where that mural has come from? Go ahead, Sarah. Detroit Institute of Arts. And who's the artist? It's right. Diego Rivera. That's right. Very good. You know? Very good. And that's what our theme verse shows. Jesus said, you did not choose me. On the back of your outline. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Now I'm going to quiz you. 5 weeks into this series, who could tell me what it means to bear fruit that will last? In this particular verse, who knows it? Just a question. We'll see how good you are as students. Anybody? Who's got the courage to bear fruit? Fruit that will last. You know what that means? Go ahead. What does it mean? What did Jesus mean? The question is, what did Jesus mean when he said that he appointed you to bear fruit that will last? Grow the church? Make disciples? Anybody else? Love one another? Preach the gospel? Yeah. He means to connect people to him in a life-changing way. That's what it means to bear fruit. Connect people to Christ in a life-changing way. And that's what Colossians 1 says. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit as lives are being changed, as they hear God's truth and understand it. And I want you to know that can only happen when we share God's love, when we share God's love, or when we show God's love and share God's truth in a way that people can understand, in a way that's appealing to them. That's why our mission as a church is to connect our county to Christ by showing God's love and sharing God's truth in relevant, appealing, and understandable ways. This point was brought home again this weekend. Last weekend, I was with these wonderful young adults. Great kids, man, tracking in character and in school and in life. But without exception, they see no intersection of spirituality with life. It's because that most all of them have been brought up either in churches that are irrelevant and boring, or no church at all, because their parents concluded that church is irrelevant and boring. It's not appealing. That was the heartbreaker for me. Man, we have a huge challenge, folks. And we're not going to achieve that. Listen, I wish there was an easy button to connect our world to Christ, but there isn't. To go and to bear fruit is work, isn't it? That's just the reality of it. You know, I don't know about you, but I always have to resist the temptation not to care about others. And I have to constantly work to be alert to their needs and the opportunities that everyday life gives for me to show God's love or share His truth to people in ways that they can understand. I have to work to overcome my fears and my timidity about sharing my faith, even as a pastor. Fears of rejection, misunderstanding, opposition. And I have to work real hard when I speak up here to translate our Christianese into terms that are understandable. And you know, and I know that sometimes I fail at that, don't I? This nerdy little guy. We have to translate that. You know, when it comes to sharing Jesus' message, there is no easy button, but there is a purpose. And that purpose is to connect people to God in a life-changing way, a way that's going to impact them forever. If you look on the back of your program here, Jesus says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet. Now listen, those words go, train, those are verbs, aren't they? They take effort, don't they? Train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in a threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you. You see, maturity is not defined in how much you know, but how much you do. And that, my friends, that takes work. Those are verbs. Circle those words. Go, train, instruct, because that's what we're talking about. That's the work of the ministry. That's the work that God wants every one of us to be about. That's what He wants us to sweat at. Now, in conclusion, I just want to wrap this up. Let me ask you, in those four areas, working hard to stay vitally connected to Christ, working hard to become like Jesus in my character and conduct, or working hard to stick together with other Jesus followers, lastly, working hard to share His message, which one of these do you think you most need to kind of roll up your sleeves on and redouble your efforts towards right now? Let me just pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would reveal to each mind that particular thing that we need to redouble our efforts on, Father. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would convict our hearts and challenge us to change where we've been coasting, slacking off, hitting the easy button on, not embracing our responsibility to work toward. I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, that You'd enable us to identify one of those areas and to make a commitment this day to redouble our efforts to work at those things. I pray that in Jesus' powerful name. Now I want a show of hands, just so that you can encourage each other. I'm going to ask you to stick up your hand on the purpose that God is challenging you to work on. How many of you feel like God is challenging you most to work on your connection with Christ? Anybody? Look around. See others just like you. How many of you feel like God has challenged you to redouble your efforts to become like Christ? That issue of discipleship, good. How many of you are challenged that you really need to work harder at sticking together on God's team, being a vital part of His church? Good. And how many of you feel like God has really challenged you today to redouble your efforts to show His love and share His truth with other people far from Him? Boy, that's cool. God's working in a lot of hearts, isn't He? That's encouraging. We're going to close with a song. We're going to pick up our connect cards, and maybe you've never connected to Jesus Christ in a personal way, and maybe if you're interested in that, if you'll just mark that on the back, we'll be sure to call you. We'll work you through those steps. We'll pray with you after this if you'd like, or we just connect during the week. But let's close and reflect upon this song here.